Hello, I'm Isawellen, and this is Isawellen's Stories, where I read my current work in progress, caught balancing magic, out loud to you with all my slurs, fumbles, and stumbles built right in for your listening built right in for your listening pleasure. I am just a mom who stole her son's microphone, and I really have no idea what I'm doing after, 4 years? Apparently, I haven't invested anything in becoming a better podcaster. Right now, I'm just reading Caught. I hope you've been listening along and enjoying this story. It is written by me and copyrighted by me and owned by me. All ideas, characters, and everything invented by yours truly, Isawellen. Chapter 14, Annika. Fine, I'll wash your dishes. I pasted something that looked like hope upon my face. Are you going to take me home? The hunter climbed on his cycle and leaned back, motioning to me with one of the most. When the writer realizes a word that I picked out does not work, so we're just gonna go back and I'm gonna read that sentence again, and I'm going to get through this stinking chapter. I pasted something that looked like hope on my face. Are you going to take me home? The hunter climbed on his cycle and leaned back, regarding me with one of the most disinterested expressions I'd ever seen. I couldn't read what he was thinking at all. Just climb aboard his fast-moving modern vehicle with its big wheels and hundreds of moving parts? Is that what he wanted? Not just on it, but to sit in front of him, in the little space between the directional bars and his body. Built for one person, the single-seater was sleek and compact. He'd be wrapped around me, touching everywhere. The patrols used something like Kallax's duos when they could, but I'd never seen them take two people at a time. There was only a pinch of space behind him, and no place for my legs around the exposed front wheel either. I need to go home. I looked from him to the machine and back to him and gave him my most stupid expression. Did the line of his mouth grow straighter, or had he just turned to stone? I detected no difference. Of course, I'll take you home and leave you there, never to bother you again. No, none of that. Next to him, Max and Gage started their cycles, both machines erupting with a living energy. Witch energy, a low hum that I felt in my chest. Mage built, witch powered, connected into the natural magic cycle. The rare machines were alive. The ones the patrol used had ilium cores. These had hollow tubes filled with magic manipulated energy. Kallax made them go. I needed to run while I still had the chance. As if he heard me, Shade pressed against my side, his big head on my shoulder, an invitation to see and feel his thoughts. He was thinking of his home, his den, where it would be safe from the light of dawn. He wanted me there with him. As far as Shade and One and the pack were concerned, that was all a done thing. I can't just go with you. I have to get my stuff, I told Kallax again. His eyes did another once-over, taking in my stylishly filthy clothing. An eyebrow raised at me in question. Crossing my arms over my chest, I glared. Not all of us has the chance to lick the butt of the First Order so that we can afford nice stuff. I need my crap if you're going to steal me from my whole life. Unless you are planning on trying to use me up and toss me away into your trash heap. He sighed, as if greatly bothered. Where did you live? The old miner's lodge at the end of the wood, at the edge of the wood. It's on the way. We can stop. Shade made an eager noise in his throat. He'd done something bad for me, so that I didn't have to, so that the things from my past wouldn't continue to grieve me. It was nothing to him to eat that tasty dying mage, but it was something to me. No one had ever defended me before. All right, then, I told Shade. I took a willing step in Kallax's direction. He hadn't forced me with that collar again yet. He might be able to pull me about like a toy on a string, but I still had control over my inner shields. Barely. Touching him wasn't going to help. I needed to get to my home. I wanted to get my clothes, my blankets, my mother's books, her journal, the little box and the bracelet with the broken clasp she always wore. I wanted my pathetic life. I drank a tincture every day to dampen the effect mages had on me, and I needed that bottle, too, and all the others. Taking my hand in his, Kallax reeled me in. The mage radiated masculine satisfaction. He had what he wanted. This day was shaping up to be a test after test of unwanted physical encounters. Every dick and blick around had decided it was time to test Annika. I felt fully tested. This man, his body, the touch of his bare hand on mine, his breath in my ear as he curved around me and fit me into his shape before engaging the vehicle's protective shield. All of it overwhelmed me. The mage was too close. Too big, too male. The Hunter Kallax sent bubbles of effervescent magic free through my system that I wanted kept dampened and flat. I didn't want to feel any of this. I didn't want this. Instead of painful, the sensations he gave me felt good, natural, and perfect in a way that stirred up screams of denial in my head. My magic wanted to go to this man. I didn't want the magic or the man. This attraction that I felt was dangerous. Men were dangerous. He had nothing to give me but the pain I'd seen men give women my whole life. My mother didn't die of natural causes. She died because she was a witch who trusted a mage. His lips touched the side of my forehead. Easy now, Mokhat Leech. I know you can feel the spark between us. You must, yes? He had this soft, coaxing hum he could do, as soft as thistledown against my palm, making me forget the danger of thorns. This will be better for you, Annika, he told me as if he was sure. I shook my head. It wouldn't. He ignored my refusals. Since he could make me do whatever he wanted, why pay any attention to them? First thing, though, we get you a decent bath. I know of garbage heaps that smell better than you. It took a moment for the insult to register. Leaning away, he coughed, making a dramatic show of how difficult it was for him to be so close to me. I always smell like this. I gave it my best to always smell this bad. Sometimes it itched. Looks like my male prevention perfume worked. Yes, I suspect you do, but you won't need this anymore. I'm taking you to a safe place. You will find friends there. I won't find friends there. He'd never understand how certain I was of that. This arrogant, gulping, grasping gulch frog thought that everything he did was right. Yes. You will. We can be friends. Mages and witches are meant to be together. They have always lived in groups, in their own enclaves and holdings. Are you telling me you don't feel the magic between us? You need a strong mage for the offflow of all that energy you have somehow managed to bottle up. I didn't deny what he said. But I'm sure I understood my needs better than a stranger who came out of nowhere. I don't want a friend like you. His hand fit over the ball of my shoulder, smoothed down the bulky clothing I wore, followed the lines of my arm to my fingers poking out at the end of the tunic cuffs. He really didn't like my clothing. I'd need to pack all of it. You don't know what you need, he whispered in that dark, honey-rich tone, because you don't know what you have been missing. I'll show you, and you can show me everything you really are." His words were a low, warm rumble that raised the hairs on the back of my neck and made my stomach churn. More bubbles. Was he trying to seduce me? Or was this just him? How he sounded? How he treated women? I couldn't tell, but I smashed and popped every suspicious surge of pleasure he tried to pass my way. No male could seduce me from my self-control. I knew where that led. I knew what mages were. Take and take and take and take, calling it pleasure until the skin around my eyes darkened to like bruises and I drained it to bones. I'd smile drunkenly at the things he wanted to show me, and then he'd either sell me to a friend or let me suffer alone. Because that is what the unifiers of the First Order and all mages did to witches. My jaw hurt from gritting my teeth. "Don't want you to show me anything. You said I could wash dishes. Do you have a special trick with that?" "I have many tricks." Pulling his gloves from his pockets, he put them back on. If he never touched me skin to skin, I might not be in this position. If I had been able to keep my mouth shut, if I had meekly kept my head down, if I hadn't gone outside, if I knew how to be a good gnoll. "Please take me to get my stuff." "By the miner's lodge?" I nodded. He called out a word in the old language, kindled the cycle, and lifted his feet from the ground. I yelped at the weird feeling in the vehicle between my legs. The air snapped in a boom of ignited magic, a rock dropping in my center. The feeling went through me head to toe before dissipating at the same time as the shields engaged and faded clear. The bike hummed. Kallax held me pinned between his legs as if I could fall to my death, separated from wind and full effects of movement as the world moved and shifted before my eyes. My vision swam, and I got dizzy. Cursed things. What idiot invented transportation guaranteed to make a person ill? We traveled to my home in record time, and I loathed every second of it. Bridonna and I lived in the top right corner of rooms of Old Putter's Lodge, built to house a mass influx of Vilium miners from years ago when the Stone Forest was still known as the Silverheart Towers and greened in the spring. It had once contained 24 apartments with 50 beds. The lodge was home, sheltering me since my birth. Unifier companies left when the Ilium dried up and the trees went gray, leaving their temporary structures behind. The lodge was barely standing, and evidence of Unifier efficiency and shortcut taking. Left behind for all to marvel at, some 80 years later, there was a roof, walls, doors. The floor was iffy. My landlord, Old Putter himself, was a veteran of the First Order correctors. He bragged about the history of the place to all who would listen. Commandeering the empty building and making a profit from it was his greatest life accomplishment. Not living here, he ignored the sagging, leaking rooms, warped stairs, and collapsing ceilings, and he never noticed the stretch vines climbing up over the back of the building. "I can't believe this place is still standing," Gage said. "Unifier structures are built forever, in full compliance with the Proctor's balance." My sarcasm wasn't missed. I earned a glare from the blue eyes of the bearded gnoll male and grinned back at him extra wide. He didn't like me. The feeling was mutual. I knew what had happened with Shade scared him. I'd seen his face. He was just like every gnoll I'd ever met, plain and bereft of imagination or faith. Anything out of their set understanding rocked them to their core. This was certainly far out of my set understanding, and I was rocked to my core. I wanted the day over, the situation done. I didn't want to think about Stahl any more than he did. "Don't worry," Max called out as he approached the front door. "The vines are going to eat it up and pull it down like they do everything that is out of balance." The first at the building, his nose was up like he was smelling for something. his face souring at the threshold. I had opinions about those Strichthorn vines, but this lot didn't need to hear any of that. "Let's get in. Get out," Kallax said from behind me. "We aren't alone," Max pointed up to the second floor window. "He won't bother us," I told them. Bedana and I paid extra rent not to be bothered, but in case that wasn't enough, she told them all I was only 17, too young for their grimy paws. A couple of the old drunk soldiers saw me regularly enough that they never forgot me or that I was female. So I had to tell them something different. None of them liked the idea of me releasing the flesh-eating ants I had brought back from the Silverwood a time or two into their beds, if they ever came near me. They'd heard the scream once of a former residence in the lower corner of the building. It didn't matter to me that those screams had been about something else. I was able to use it to my advantage to keep a safe place for Bredonna and myself. "Get your things, Batai, then come back to me. We'll wait out here." Putting his hands on my shoulder, making me feel short and weak in comparison to his size, Kallax gave me a gentle push. His touch set the command into my muscles, as if he'd leashed me to him and his will. I felt the scope of what he expected settle where he touched, limiting me, keeping me here instead of escaping into the woods. "I don't want this," I said, walking to the door of the home I'd grown up in. "I know, but I intend you no harm," he called back to me. "I don't believe you." I didn't turn to look at any of them when I put my hand on the latch, shade pressed in from behind, his chin brushing the top of my head, keeping me company. "Here, hound," the hunter called. I looked up to see Shade looking at the hunter, his one ear perked, debating who to follow. "Go, I'll be fine. Can't have you scaring the residents," I told him. Kallax whispered shrilly. The hound went to him. I entered the building to gather up what I could of my life and leave it behind on the whim of a mage. Thank you so much for listening to Chapter 14 of Caught Balancing Magic with Izzo Ellen. Somebody said it uniquely the other day, and I can't remember how it went. It was nice, though. Have a fantastic day, and happy reading.